CliffCentral.com.
Okay, good morning, everybody. Can you hear us loud and clear?
All right. So I am live in Cape Town. I know this is this is your favorite news correspondent live from Cape Town. And in the studio in Johannesburg, we have Bakabantu Kaka. And then in her own office in Johannesburg, we have the mysterious Pumi Mashiko.
Mysterious? Why? I'm an open book.
I don't know.
Is Pumi rocking some makeup early this morning?
I know. Look at you, Pums.
You see, this is absolutely what I love about, like, bright lipstick. Like, I wear makeup every morning, but usually my lipsticks are, like, neutral. The minute I wear pink lipstick or, like, red lipstick, everyone's like, wow.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you women get upset with us when we don't notice that you've had a haircut.
I love it.
Yeah. I don't know. There are a lot of women who get very upset when you don't go, oh, well, you've got a new outfit. You've got a new hairstyle.
Oh, I don't know who those women are. I'll point it out. I'm like, what do you think about my outfit? What do you think about my hair? I'll point it out. This morning, though, so I had a terrible night. I couldn't sleep. I've had like 3 hours of sleep. And this morning, coming into the office, I forgot my headphones.
Oh, Jesus. So you're having to listen to us through the speaker.
So I have to listen to you through the speaker. Good news is nobody's here yet.
Uh-oh. What about when they arrive? It's going to be noise.
Yeah. Mm. Hopefully they'll get here after we're done.
Well, there's quite a lot to get into today. I'm down here because I've got a couple of meetings with some clients, which I love. Means that we're going to be bringing you some exciting and new and terrific things. Among them, a new season of Blind History is coming soon. That's one of the reasons I'm down here too. So that's going to be great. And it's, you know, for all the Star Wars fans, it's today is Revenge of the Fifth. Yesterday was May the Fourth be with you. There we go. For all the super turbo nerds in our audience, this is a special... Special 2 days for us. Isn't that great? Are you one of these turbo nerds, Bagabantu?
I take umbrage with that. We're not nerds. We're geeks. get the wording right. Nerds are the smart ones. We're the ones that are interested in the comic books and the video games. But yeah, dude, I was happy yesterday. Like, my friends, like, my WhatsApp just looked like, May the 4th, May the 4th, May the 4th, May the 4th. Then I was like, nerd!
I love it.
I was bullying myself yesterday.
So great.
And are you super excited for Disney Plus coming and the new Mandalorian?
Mm-hmm. Well, that was already pirated, sis Pumi, not to disclose any people's scandals.
The new season.
That's old news now.
Old news, but like the new one is coming. Mm-hmm. What is it coming up? End of this year, I think. Yeah, I think
Obi-Wan
is coming out. Cool.
So I think just to for all the people who are going to complain immediately that you've got it wrong. So you're talking about the Book of Boba Fett, which we've already seen, which features the Mandalorian,
yes.
And then as Bakabanti says, the Obi-Wan story is coming at the end of this month. And that's going to be exciting because that'll be a full movie.
Yeah, that'll be a full movie. And apparently it's just going to be one season, so must watch, must watch.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So apart from that, I noticed the Met Gala happened in America. You know, there were two things that happened that are really just for, they kind of separate the American population from the people who run the place. The Met Gala and the White House Correspondents' Dinner were both two events which, you know, a lot of people in America get very excited about. I don't know why, because the Met Gala is almost like our opening of Parliament, except maybe slightly better models and slightly weirder outfits.
Except but this year was exceptionally dull. Like,
was it?
One of the most exciting themes that they've had. Right, so the Gilded Age, American, what did they say? Fashion in American anthology or something like that. And then people just, and white tie for the guys. My God, how boring. How, like, this is the year where, if you think about what the Gilded Age is for them, right, and the mythology of fashion, this is the year where, like, tight bodices and popping out boobs and, like, puffy arms. Come on. They were so boring.
Again, I didn't want to watch the whole thing from beginning to end, but I did see some pictures that came up on the internet. And so these people don't know how to dress. And I'm saying that, you know, I'm hardly a fashion icon myself, but these people don't know how to dress. They don't know. They all look ridiculous. There were a lot of dresses that didn't even look like dresses. I think there's a point in fashion where you come in too hot. You know, you're trying so hard to impress everybody and to be different. And maybe you get talked into it by, I don't know, moron fashion consultants, or even worse.
No,
and these people arrive and they look
the talk of the town. Your PR team is like, on fire there.
They look like fools, though.
Oh, this is like the opportunity to be out there. This is the opportunity to take avant-garde fashion and put it on the red carpet, right? And they just...
Yeah, they missed it.
They missed the opportunity. In my view, I think they missed the opportunity. But you know who I did miss? And who I miss always on the red carpet is Joan Rivers.
Oh, I know. That woman. You know, she used to tell them the truth.
A perfectly placed kind of, like, a perfectly placed insult.
That is probably what's missing for me in all of this, because I do think it's fair to say, like, the little bits of the White House Correspondents' Dinner that I saw, Trevor Noah did a very good job. I mean, I think he balanced it out beautifully. He did speak some truth to all of those very, very coddled, very out of touch people who are meant to be the connection, the fourth estate, right, between what's really going on and the ordinary folks. But they're also meant to be the people who hold those people in power to account. And I don't get that feeling. In America, I get a feeling that the media and the politicians are in cahoots. And sometimes, you know, in South Africa, you get that.
You know, in South Africa, we have the SABC. You definitely get that.
Yeah, correct.
Funny you say that. It's what I've been thinking about. And when Canton's on later, we're going to chat a little bit more about that. But it's just America, man. America. That's... So well, I gotta say, depending on what you, so well, if you're watching Fox, if you're watching CNN, if you know, so there is some kind of fringe, independent, like, craziness that's also happening. But by and large, it's lost a lot of shine in some of those places. Hey?
It has. I don't think that's an unfair thing to say. I think that's about right. But what we need is more people who speak the truth. Joan Rivers, she would say to people, "You look like a fucking idiot." You know, you get the very distinct feeling. You know, the whole story of the emperor has no clothes, and the, you know, to cut to the chase on that one, because we're not here to tell children's stories. But the fact is, no one is prepared to say to a lot of these very powerful and influential people in the world, celebrities, politicians, media people, powerful business people, no one's prepared to say to them, "Hey, you look like an idiot," and take the risk, because the cost is quite high. You get
everything is connected now, Gareth. These people could destroy you. Social media, all of these things. Yeah,
right. No, they can destroy you.
Cancel culture.
So unfortunately, what we've done then is we've pushed all the really powerful and honest social commentary to the sides, and instead, we've got a big balloon in the middle of people who just blow smoke up each other's backside because they're all on the same side.
Yeah, it's an echo chamber.
Yeah, and I don't like that. I really don't like that at all.
That's
a big
word there, Bagaman, to echo chamber.
I know, what's this movie?
Starting somewhere.
Well, I've been hanging out with you old people long enough. Way to bury the lead on Canton. Like, you're supposed to be like, "Oh, Canton's coming in tonight, a returning champion." Like, an entire promo. And you're just like, "Oh, we'll talk to Canton
later."
Oh,
He's going to get that at 7. He'll get that at 7.
Can we talk about something that has come up quite a lot? You know, everybody was talking about how Will Smith went up on stage Oscars and did what he did. And, you know, we've spoken about that ad infinitum. But there was an attack on Dave Chappelle I don't know if you saw this. A guy ran up on stage and like tried to rugby tackle Dave Chappelle. Anyway, Dave Chappelle brushed himself off. Security came onto the stage, took the guy away, and he carried on with his show. And then Dave Chappelle's security team taught this guy a nice lesson, and they roughed him up a little bit.
It was more than just Dave Chappelle's like security people. I mean, it was also Dave Chappelle's like homies. Yeah. They went full on ghetto on this poor guy. Yeah.
Well, this poor guy. Let me tell you something. This is what we need. I said it the other day when Mike Tyson punched that guy and beat him up. I said it then. I said what people need to realize is that because we live in this digital age where we all are hiding behind a screen and we have an avatar as ourselves and we think we can say what we want and we get told that, you know, you can get all uppity with just about anyone and there's no consequence because if you're just an ordinary old person and they're a celebrity, they'll pay the price. And here, for the second time in a row, and I hope there are many more of these and they get more and more, like, obviously compelling in terms of the storyline. The storyline is, if you're some ordinary bullshit slacktivist and you run up to Mike Tyson and you look for shit with him, he's going to punch you in the face. And you give Dave Chappelle shit, he's going to hit you too. And I know we talked about the pluses and minuses of what Will Smith did. You can argue about whether or not Mike Tyson should have done what he did. You can argue about whether Dave Chappelle's homies and his security detail had to do what they did. But ultimately, what we're all realizing is there's a big teaspoonful of reality being fed back into our system where you can't just say what you want to anyone. You can't interrupt a guy's show and walk onto the stage during a show where you are not the reason people are there. They've paid money to see Dave Chappelle, you stupid idiot. Not you. When you rugby tackle Dave Chappelle, you are not just doing that for your LGBTQ. That was apparently the reason he did it, because he's upset with what Dave Chappelle said about trans people. So he does this thing, and then he thinks people are going to enjoy him after that. Well, I'm glad he looks like this now.
This guy came there with ill intentions. Yeah. I don't know how he did it, right? I don't know how he got into the Super Bowl with a gun and a knife.
Yeah.
Also, I don't know how people got in there with their cell phones. When Dave Chappelle was here, performing here, you had to lock your bloody cell phones away at the beginning of the show. And I was just like, this nigga here, right? Because you got a little pouch to put your phone in. And it's like, right? So how the hell do all those people have cell phones to be taken? But also, I was hell of a impressed with Jamie Foxx, right? He rushed the stage. He was in there with the group of people, like,
good,
helping his homie out. Like, Dave Chappelle got tackled, but he didn't, like, lose his cool. He came back swinging, you know? It's just like...
Yeah, Dave Chappelle is a big dude, though, so, like, it makes sense.
He's come through a lot. He can handle himself, you know? Like, like Chris Rock did so beautifully when Will Smith behaved like he did. And you know what I love? And I'm sorry that it has to be black men who lead the way here. Bakabantu, this is where, you know, the black man is called upon to be the real man again in this situation, I'm afraid. And people don't like any of this stuff when I say real man or, you know, that we point out that it's all black men who are having to stand up for themselves here. But honestly, this is just another example. And I know this audience of ours, I'm preaching to the choir here. I mean, nobody in our audience is dumb enough to think that it's okay for someone to, because they're upset at something you say, rush up to the stage and ruin the show for everybody. But everybody else who's not in this audience needs to understand that if you're going to do this and you're going to screw with a comedy act, which people have paid money to see in the Hollywood Bowl, you are going to get punched in the face. And again, I'm going to show this picture of this man. Let this be a warning to all those other moron activists out there. And again, activist in inverted commas, because these are not people who change the world in any way. They just misbehave because they get attention online. That's all they do. That's all this guy was after.
Yeah.
He was never the intention from a moron like this, the intention is never to change people's minds or to have a conversation or to improve the understanding around a specific subject. This guy doesn't know that that is the real purpose. He just wants to cause a scene.
So, because you're showing that picture, and I saw like videos of him going into the, being put into the ambulance and all. And I kept thinking to myself, what has actually happened to his arm? Have they like dislodged it from it, the socket? Why is it turned around like that? You know, why, how did that happen? What the hell's going on with the man's arm?
Well, let's just let's just describe it to everybody here. So he's
got, kind of looks like a Nicki Minaj pose.
He's sort of got his one arm out and in front of him, but the elbow's turned the other way around. He's wearing black nail polish on all of his nails. He's got clearly quite a lot of bruising on the facial area. And this guy clearly thought that the real world was just like Twitter, and you can just say whatever you... screw you, Dave Chappelle, with your millions and millions of followers. Me and my 20 followers are just as important. No, you are not. Shut your mouth.
Although, guys, we must take a moment to talk about the comebacks, right? So when Dave kind of like dusted himself out and got his jacket properly back on, the first thing he said was like, I think that was a trans man. And while we were still shocked at that, Chris Rock, who had also rushed the stage in the moment of confusion, came up to Dave, took the mic, and was like, was that Will Smith?
I love those guys. I love them. Thank you.
What is happening in LA?
What is happening in America?
What you're seeing, I think, all over the world is that a lot of people who maybe just... We took it for granted that civilization behaves a certain way, that societies, in order to move forward and to be productive and constructive, must move in a certain direction. And we took it for granted that everyone was on that page. And there are clearly some people who don't agree with those things. They don't agree with freedom of speech. They don't agree with the fact that someone who's making a comment is allowed to make a comment, especially if it's part of an entertainment show. But not necessarily, because everyone on earth is entitled to their opinion, but you are not entitled to get physically violent because you believe someone else's words, in inverted commas, are violence. And we're starting to see a bit of a clash of cultures here. And what's happening is it's gone all the way this way, where basically, you know, it's believe all women and words are violence, and then silence is violence, and then all of this. These crazy ideas have come in, which I think a lot of people thought, okay, well, that doesn't sound right, but let's not cause too much of a noise. And now you see the backlash for that. It's like, oh, no, here's some reality right in your face. This is how it actually works. And it was bound to happen because the pendulum swings. So we're going to see a lot more of this. And in fact, another thing that's just happened, which so many people are going to be very, very upset about. I don't really have a dog in this fight, the abortion thing. But it looks like, it looks like a draft of the judgment in the Supreme Court of the United States case to dismiss the findings that kind of put Roe versus Wade into the position it got into, which is the most controversial probably in U.S. judicial history. That is the case that made it federally acceptable for people anywhere in the United States to have access to abortions. And there are controversial parts of this legislation, which we can get into if you want to, about whether or not abortion should be legal, who should decide.
Again, Captain wants to get into this.
We will.
One of Captain's big points today.
I think we will, but the actual, no one wants to go into the detail. You know, they want to say, this is my opinion, and the judges either agree with me, which means they're great, or the judges don't agree with me, which means they're wrong. And that's not how it works. These are people who are probably much more versed in American law than any of us. And we're not looking at the details of whether it's states that decide these things or the federal government, which is really what this case was about. And if that judgment is actually the work of the justices and it was leaked on purpose, we need to know what that's all about, because that's probably an egregious breach of not only the law, but probably also of all institutional and judicial precedent. So we'll have to see what happened here. There's also this ongoing Johnny Depp and Amber Heard trial, which is another thing in the culture war, right? Because it gets worse and worse. Apparently this Amber Heard attacked a security guard. Johnny had he'd hired a security guard. She threw a Red Bull can at Johnny, and this guy had to get in the way, and he took a couple of like fists or slaps or kicks or whatever it was. She threw a bag at him. She was spitting. I mean, she sounds like a complete nutcase, but let us not also take the binary approach and go, oh, well, that must mean Johnny's a good guy, because he's not. This is a guy who left his wife and kids from a previous relationship, just abandoned them to be with this hot as hell but clearly demented Amber Heard. So he's not a saint either, right, Pums? I mean, you can't – nobody here is an innocent party. They both are as crazy as each other.
Listen, the thing for me about – you all know this. I was just like when it started, I was like, who the hell is Amber Heard, right? Mm. It's like, what am I listening to? What is going on here? And we know all of the mayhem and madness of Johnny Depp when he was younger. We love Johnny and Pirates of the Caribbean and the character that he created there. And it is mind-blowing for me to listen to what we've listened to so far, right? Knowing that in every single one of these cases, there are always three sides to the story. Mm-hmm. And I think today, she's starting yesterday, I think she's taking the stand. So it's her section of the book. The whole time, I'm listening to this thing and I'm like, it was like when we were listening to the Red Top Table talk with like...
With Jada.
With Jada and Will. All of this is just like...
So it's like airing your dirty laundry on the biggest stage in the world.
But what shit life are these people living?
Well, this is where I'm happy to not be a famous celebrity. You know, there was a point in history not so long ago, we can all remember, it's in living memory, where everybody wanted to be famous. Do you remember that? And I mean, there's still people who want to be famous. I get it. I look at these people. I look at Johnny Depp, Amber Heard, Will Smith, Jada Pinkett. I look at what happened to Dave Chappelle yesterday. I see the way people in Hollywood really are when the cameras turn off and you hear the testimony of what they actually think of each other and how they behave behind the scenes. And you think, I wouldn't want to be around those people. These are not the people you want to be around. If you took me and helicoptered me into Hollywood now, and those are the people I had to spend my time with, I would be a miserable, miserable person. No, thank you. So Congo Chris says, you should watch the trial today. Amber is on the stand. I cannot watch it for longer than 5 minutes. Her testimony comes across as extremely self-centered. So that's Congo Chris's take on it. Hey, I don't know. I just this woman is – I don't know how I never kind of paid any attention to her before, because like Pumi, I was sort of surprised and I felt like I hadn't really been on top of things.
So,
and then I see this woman and she's very attractive, but my God, she's fucked in the head.
Apparently, she is on Aquaman 2.
Okay.
And what has happened over the past week with all of this, with the tapes coming out and whatnot, there has been a petition going around. So the Aquaman film has now been pushed out. It was supposed to come out later this year, but now it's actually been pushed out to 2023. And so there's a petition. I think there's like 3 million signatures on the petition to say, listen, they need to reshoot all the scenes with this woman. She needs to go. Especially in light of how Will Smith was sanctioned by the Academy.
Right.
How in like overnight, he was just like banned for 10 years. And all of this, you know, lost jobs and all of that kind of stuff. People are just like, this so nutcase.
She's a total nutcase. Have you watched her reaction to some of the testimony while the trial's been going on? Because that's the other fun part about this. And I said last Friday, I feel terrible and I had to apologize to everybody that I haven't been paying as much attention to this trial as I should have, because it's really entertaining, right? I mean, you could take we're trying to take important lessons from this. Maybe there's a comment on the culture. Maybe there's something that we can all talk about when it comes to relationships. But the best part about this whole thing is actually watching, like, Amber Heard's not a very good actress. Like, she She's literally smiling and laughing, talking to her lawyer. And then 5 seconds later, she puts on her sad face. She's like, and she sits there looking miserable and sad. And you go, you're a terrible actress. I mean, we're watching you, right? We can see how you were just smiling and now you've gone to the sad face because the testimony requires it.
But Gareth, she was diagnosed. She was diagnosed with twin or bipolar disorder.
Listen, guys, it's unbelievable. And Gareth, you were talking earlier about fame, and I see somebody, Jake Lockley, in the comments says fame is a poison.
Yeah.
I just finished reading Viola Davis's memoir, Finding.
Oh yeah.
And you know, she talks a lot about that. You know, she became like her career completely blew up and changed when she got the role on How to Get Away with Murder. Before that, she'd been Oscar nominated. She's got a Tony. She's got all of that stuff, right? But really, she was thrust into the forefront of world domination kind of fame with How to Get Away with Murder.
Right.
And she talks, and she was a working actress. I mean, she's a working actress all her life, from when she was 28, when she finished at Juilliard. And she talks a lot about that in her book. She talks a lot about how hard it is to be an actor, and that the work is bigger than the fame. That, you know, if the actors and actresses that you see that are famous make up 0.01% of the number of people that are actually actors. And that if you're buying into the Instagram hype of what fame is and being famous rather than doing the work, you're going to be sorely, sorely disappointed. Because not everybody becomes famous like that.
Right. What are you famous for? You know, this is what it started to happen. I think the first people who were famous for
Paris Hilton.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Paris Hilton, and then the Kardashians, and they're also all the sex tapes, which helps because then you're at least famous for one thing. But there's stuff you don't want to be famous for. You don't want to be famous for shitting in someone's bed, for example. like Rajesh says, I hear she's changing her name to Amber Turd. You know? Really? Well, here, as predicted by The Simpsons, today is the day that Putin nukes somebody. They've been right once or twice already. I hope you are wrong, Parallel Parking, because if The Simpsons say something, it is usually true. So that's something to keep an eye on.
I really hope you're wrong, because already John Stiernhazen has told us about how this Ukrainian war is affecting the us. Price of chips, the price of chips in tuck shops. I really hope you're wrong.
We need to know this.
The
fact-finding mission that just Jason went on is to find out how fluctuates the price of chips.
The last thing we need is chips to become more expensive.
So Jake Lockley, who made the comment about fame earlier, he says they don't need to recast Amber Heard. They just need to cancel that stupid movie. We do not need any more new superhero movies. It's enough now. I think that I agree with that. I know that there are kids everywhere who are addicted to these movies. And I know that superhero movies are probably the only movies with any budget at the moment that actually get commissioned in Hollywood, because they know they'll sell at the box office.
This is what Martin Scorsese was talking about all those many years ago. That says,
correct.
Completely fucked up.
Yeah.
The way that movies are made and what kind of movies are made. And it's, I know nobody likes to hear these things, but it is the industrial machine of chasing the profits, because that's what these superhero movies do. They
break merchandise machines. They know what attracts, and then they just reprint that over and over again.
The stereotypical, I remember this when we were in film school, one of the things that we learned is how the stereotypical exact audience that kind of a lot of the Hollywood blockbusters go for is a 14-year-old white male.
Yes.
So if it appeals to that person.
Right.
Really?
And at the time,
there were 3 billion people in the world. There's like 3 billion people, and this is the narrow casting that we're looking at.
I mean, also, you know, China have an outsized say in what movies go on, because if you can't sell your movie in China, you won't make as much money. So the whole of Hollywood will kowtow wherever they have to China. That's why you see the new Top Gun movie coming out, and Maverick doesn't wear a Taiwan patch on his jacket anymore. Little things. But China's like, if you want to put that movie in our cinemas, you can't have that thing. You know, so Hollywood is not in charge anymore. And by the way, Pumi, if we ever listen to market research people about anything, we're going to get it wrong. Because those market research people who said that the only people who we should listen to are 14-year-old white males, imagine if we only listened to them when it came to politics. Imagine if we only listened to them when it came to what reading material we all should partake in. Don't do it. Don't do it, everybody. Let's keep a little bit more of a balance going on.
I live with the 14-year-old black male, and it's horrendous.
So the irony here, Gareth, is that you're a 40-year-old white man telling people what not to do.
No, I know, but I'm thinking about how we should have a pluralism here, not a kind of, even a commercial model that satisfies pure capitalism. It's like, yeah, well, you can make something that a lot of people want to buy. It leaves quite a lot of stuff that maybe isn't all popular, isn't all as commercially successful, but it leaves that stuff on the side, and I think we need that. We occasionally need that stuff. And I mean, I've always complained about things that are massively popular and that are kind of vacuous, and I'll put superhero movies into the same category. You know, people, we were talking about Paris Hilton and the Kardashians and how mindless and dumb that whole thing is. So again, let's just keep some space for the good shit, which brings us to headlines in a very, very deft segue.
What a wonderful segue. Just like.
So.
And now advocate, we're turning deft.
Advocate Malisela Tefo, who's the lawyer who was dramatically arrested, you may remember, in court last week while representing 4 of the 5 men accused of the murder of Senzo Miyua, is no stranger to courtroom drama. He's endured the wrath of at least 2 judges over his conduct in court. In March, a judge warned him as a defense advocate for 2 co-accused in the Radovan Krejcir trial that he was going to be removed, and eventually did remove him. Judge Msimeki and Tefo was, he said he was also highly disruptive in court. It became clear that there would be no progress in the criminal trial while he was one of the court officials. The judge said in his judgment that he had never, during his decades of being a lawyer and later a judge, seen anyone behave in such a manner. So this guy, who, by the way, was arrested on another matter because he had failed to appear, he sounds to me like we have mechanisms for dealing with people like this in law, don't we? You can be struck from the role. You can be banned.
Yeah, why is
from...
he still part of the bar or the board?
What is the point?
Have you watched the documentary? Hold up. So did you watch the documentary? We spoke about this last week, and you all were going to do this. Did you see the documentary, Gareth?
No, still not.
Did you do your homework, Gareth?
Sorry.
You do your homework? Did you see people not like doing the background work?
Yeah, sorry.
So, there's so many things happening with this case and happening with all of the people involved in this case. Because, it's not just Malisela Tefo getting arrested. That has been the developments over the past couple of days. There is also the arrest of Chico Twala.
Oh,
on Sunday, and the conspiracy theories, and I am one of the people that are on the side of the conspiracy theory that says, because Longwe Twala is the person that shot Senzo Meiwa, Chico Twala has been using all his connections to try and get this thing like taken care of. And what they did not contend with is they did not contend with social media. And social media has made their life hell. So now they're all like backpedaling. And I think Advocate Defoe has has hit a couple of nerves in some of his kind of cross last week.
Mm-hmm.
And then very dramatically on Thursday, just before getting like arrested. I mean, the man is not a fool.
Yeah.
He has a background in the police. He has many cases that he has won for his clients. And a lot of what he does is really, he finds kind of the wrongful termination or the, what do they call it? The
unfair dismissal.
The targeting of what he sees as police people who are trying to do their job, who are trying to fight the corrupt system, whistleblowers in many cases. And he's done well for all of those people. So he's not a fool. He may not sound the way that a lot of people want people to sound. He's not like, you know, this flowing, super English and blah, blah, blah. You know, he's not that guy. He's just...
So just tell me quickly, because I haven't done my homework, but Thabo Phali says here, I'm sorry, but Chico Twala and the other people who were there the night Senzo was murdered are hiding something. Is that the conspiracy theory?
Dude, so I do want to say that from the 2 days after when the story came out of Senzo's shooting, I was like, What are these people doing? What are we talking about? There is only one person who had any motive to shoot anybody in that house. Not just, and I don't think it was intentional that he wanted to shoot Senzo. I think they just got into a fight. He is the only person who is an outsider of all the people that were in that house. And then watching the documentary, we're just like, we've seen enough like crime and investigation, right? We've listened to enough like true crime podcasts. We're all just like, there are too many holes in the story. This guy can't keep a straight story. None of the timelines make sense. Why are you phoning your dad? Why is Chico being called? Why is Chico being called? Why is the head of the Hawks at the crime scene? Who cleans the crime scene? What the fuck? I'm just saying.
Okay, now you see. Now you've got me. You chastised me for not doing the homework, and then you got me excited to do it again. So I'm going to watch this thing. All right, just quickly, because there's so many stories in the news this morning. We want to try and get through as many as possible. So an illness kept former SAA board chairperson Dudumieni away from court on Wednesday, forcing a second postponement of her case relating disclosure of the identity of a protected witness at the State Capture Commission in 2020. So I don't know. This, you know, Dudumieni was obviously going to pull the sick card. Shabir Sheikh used this when it came to sentencing in his trial. Jacob Zuma keeps using this. I reckon we've just got to say to people, we don't care how sick you are, we're wheeling you in. And if you die, you die.
You die. Wow.
I reckon. I mean, I don't care what you're suffering from. It can't be so bad that you can't acquit yourself in court. Yeah, come on.
Or at least let's get like, this is what, COVID era. Like, let's get a Zoom camera in your comfortable hospital bed.
Right. I can do the show here from this B&B I'm staying at in Cape Town. Pumi can do it from her office. We can have this conversation. Why can't they do this in court? Hospitals have Wi-Fi. I don't see the problem. This is enough already. Anyway, so that's been going on. So Dudumieni again. She keeps on showing us that she can be worse than we thought she was. And Elon Musk has announced, this guy, I think he's the world's greatest troll. He really is causing endless amounts of trouble for people. I love the fact that he says that businesses and governments may have to pay for Twitter going forward, which is great. And they should. Because they do use Twitter as their main broadcast arm now. You know, Twitter is the public square. It's what governments, it's what prime ministers, presidents, kings, queens, dictators.
Fikile Mbalula.
Fikile Mbalula. I mean, I think Fikile should have to pay for the use of Twitter because he uses it so badly. Yeah.
No, me too.
So I don't know. We'll see what happens there. But obviously there are going to be some people kicking and screaming about everything Elon does.
I saw a tweet the other day and I was just like, is somebody trolling Elon Musk here? Did he really troll the EFF?
I'm not sure. You know, you don't. You can't
Did
really
you
tell.
See that tweet? There's a tweet going around saying
screenshots. You never know.
But it had no viable assets. I was just like,
nah, I call BS
no
on that.
Intellectual property.
I don't think Elon is that into South African. I don't think he's into South African politics to that level. But
like, he is a troll, but he wouldn't troll the EFF. Like,
Speaking of the EFF, I saw a very sad story. And I know, you know, our politics sometimes precludes us from giving sympathy to those who we consider to be our ideological opposites and so on. And, you know, when someone on the extreme left or right has something tragic happened to them, I think a lot of people are forced to remember they're also people. I saw Godrich Gadi, his daughter, who went missing in Mpumalanga. They found her body. This poor girl, we don't know what happened, but she had a child with her. The child was found wandering around, and they eventually did find her body. And she was she was killed. We obviously don't know much about the detail of that. But I just think, you know, when I hear stories like this, that must be absolutely devastating to that family. We all know what loss feels like. And when a child goes missing, even if it's an adult daughter or son, to any parent, that's got to be the worst feeling. And horrible, horrible story for Godrich Gadi and his family to have to go through, right? Horrible.
Compounded by the performative justice of Biggie Cele.
Yeah, exactly. That guy. You know, imagine you're a person who's gone through something. You know, maybe you're a woman who's been raped. Maybe you're a man or a woman who's got a family member who's gone through something. There's been some crime that's been committed. Someone's been murdered or something. You know, some terrible, horrible, grievous thing has happened to you. And then this clown gets on TV, this Biggie Cele, and he goes, "Well, we are getting the criminals." No, you're not. It just makes you actually. You're embarrassing yourself, too, by making it that much more embarrassing to have to see you parade yourself around on TV in that stupid hat you wear all the time. Like you're some kind of cowboy or mafia boss.
Yeah, I think he fashions himself as a mafia boss. He carries himself. He's always got his goons around. I don't know. He's in a self-starring action
movie.
Yeah, he's a
warlord. Yeah. That's who he was before he was given any kind of role of significance. That's who he was. He was a warlord. That's not a not known fact. This is well known fact.
Biggie Cele is like, you know, like the cliche African dictator with the many medals and all the accomplishments in the middle. He's
the banana republic.
He seems like that to me.
But he thinks we all take him very seriously. You know, he thinks we're all massively.
So, you know,
remember when he told us that we had to be in bed by 9 o'clock during the lockdown, like we were his children. I was like, who the hell do you think you are?
Somebody has to tell him that all of these kind of like disappearances and murders, that they were all fueled by drinking. Like the witnesses saw the people with bottles of whiskey or something. He'll find them with immediate effect.
Well, a lot of people agreeing with you. Becky is an asshat, says Jake. I think that's about the best stuff. Of course, Carl brings something up. You talk about warlords, and Carl says, now Julius has said that if they find the killer of Godrich's daughter, there are no guarantees. Again, Malema demonstrates he thinks he's above the law.
I saw that. It was in News 24. It was an article on News 24 yesterday evening, I think.
Yeah.
I was like, the lawlessness we now live with.
Malema doesn't understand the power of his own words, which is like it begs to kill the Boer. Yeah, he does, this Pumi, which is very frustrating because I always say with Malema, it's either two things. Either he's too stupid, which is I don't think he is, to understand the effect of his words, or he's very smart that he is feeding this narrative. He's feeding this hate machine that we already have in this country. He plays on it so much because he will say this is not inciting violence or anything. But if someone, like, if anyone is suspected and I'm a zealot of the EFF, I'm going to kill someone who I suspect is this because my leader told me so. But he doesn't understand that, or he thinks we don't understand that he is actually telling people to basically go commit hits, go be vigilantes, take the law into their own hands. Well, as much as Bekikel is ineffective, but he's not helping the situation.
Oh, he knows.
Yeah, I think I'm with Kumi. He does know, and that makes it even worse, in my opinion, because if you're actually aware of the power of your words and it's so bad, and the things that happen are directly attributable to you, and you still go ahead and do it, that makes it worse. Then you truly are just an evil person. You realize the consequences, and you still go ahead.
And you don't care. Right.
Yeah, you don't care.
Yeah.
And then he doesn't.
Target DC says we should have
Bekikele
on the show on
Kleptomania.
Almost said Kleptomania. Sort of the same.
No, that's the spin-off with the ANC members.
We're going to do an ANC version of Kleptomania called Kleptomania.
But you know what's really, what's really upsetting about him and his collection of hats is that probably about 6 months ago, the Sunday Times had a huge article with our current finance minister, Enoch Godokwana. Mm. And he has a collection of hats.
Oh, my God, really?
He has a collection of hats. And this was the crazy. Like, they, our finance minister in the biggest Sunday publication in Africa. And what is he talking about? His collection of fucking hats.
Why? And do they think it makes them look good? I mean, you know.
Well, a well-placed fedora has had a place in history, you know, like swanky gentleman.
Al Capone.
Yeah. Al Capone. I'm thinking, and all I can come up with is criminals, Frank.
Yeah, all I can come up with is like Al Capone.
All right. Let me quickly tell you about this because we mentioned it last week, and we are hoping that you've had a chance to go and see the full video on YouTube of us talking about the new BMW iX. I shared my chat with Dr. Musa and Francisco Nwamba last week with the BMW iX. Pumi, you've got to see this. And everybody who hasn't seen it yet, please go and take a look. These guys are really funny. They're entertaining to watch, even if you're not into cars. Okay, so you might not care about cars. You might not care about electric cars. I want you to go and see it anyway. And if you want to hear about the car, the BMW iX is incredible inside and out. You can see it now. Find it on our YouTube channel. That's the Cliff Central YouTube channel. Or you can find the links on all of our social media platforms. Go and take a look at it ASAP because we need you to see this video. We went to a lot of trouble to make it. We're very proud of it. We've got a great team of people. We're working on more and more visual content for you in the Cliff Central envelope under our umbrella of stuff. And we want you to go and take a look. The more of this you support, the more of it we will do. And we would love to hear what you have to say about it. So do let us know. Go along to our YouTube channel and take a look. By the way, my background this morning is not fake. This is all actually happening. This beautiful picture
is that a stadium over there?
It's Greenpoint. Let me show you.
Is that Greenpoint?
Yeah. Have a look.
No, in the other direction. Other way.
In the other direction.
Yeah. Now we see it. Oh, yeah.
See. So that's all happening.
That sunrise is looking awesome.
It's going to be beautiful. So we're going to watch that develop over the next hour. It's another reason to be on the YouTube channel instead of just listening to the podcasts. But we don't mind if you do both. You know, we're going to tell you what to do.
And also, people must like and subscribe.
Good point. Well put. Yeah. Well, yeah. You know what? Pumi's going to give me homework. So she's going to say to me, I've got to watch the Senzo documentary. There are a whole lot of other things on Netflix I still have to watch. A bunch of podcasts I have to listen to. Then your homework is, and it's not.
I watched your IX video, Karen.
I know. I'm just listen. Here's the only other bit of homework we're asking you: like and subscribe. It helps us to get the numbers up. It helps us to be ranked by YouTube, and then you know the audience grows and grows and grows. So lots of very cool comments here about the sunrise behind me. Awesome view behind you, Gareth of Cape Town. That's from Marco. Jake saying it looks really nice. There's another reason to move to Cape Town. I'm not moving to Cape Town, but I have been down here twice.
Cape Town, yeah.
Twice in like 3 days. So yeah. It's been crazy.
So you know, months ago when Sia was still here, I made a heartfelt request to Sia, and he, instead of like working towards the request I made, he decided to leave. He opted to leave. I was just like,
what was your request?
We need to talk to somebody at like Netflix, or now that Disney Plus is coming, we need to talk to somebody. I would totally love to put like a Barry Rond. Is it Barry Rond or Barry Rond? And have a 3-minute kind of preview of all the stuff that's showing on TV.
Oh, you want to do that?
Yes! That would be awesome. I watch way too much TV to not like put it to good use.
So in other words, we're gonna have Pumi rating all the new material as it comes out. I mean, that's a lot of work. You want to do it, Pums?
Yeah, that would be amazing. Like, somebody must pay us. We'll have like a 2-minute feature. We'll talk about all of the shit I'm watching, and like, what's good and what isn't. We're always talking about what's happening in like on TV and in the movies and on the streaming channels. Come on, like content.
Yeah, look, I don't know. Hey, there's so much these days. It's very, very hard to kind of figure what you should be watching.
And this is why you need like a service like that. Remember how Barry used to like at the back of the magazine in the Sunday Times?
Yes.
And then you know there's all these movies coming out. You're not sure where you're going to spend your 20 rand. So you like read his reviews and kind of make a decision. Like, I'm gonna, are people just like letting the algorithms tell them what to watch?
I think that's what people are doing, is they just get served. They just get served up this stuff, and you just go with whatever's on the algorithm and whatever.
This is how you end up watching like DC movies all the time and nothing else. Then you have no variety. Or like serial killer documentaries.
Yeah, and I don't want to watch that shit. You know, it's like I once was sitting with friends of mine and they were talking about the price of nappies or something, and I'm scared to even talk about this now. No. So my phone, obviously, because it's always listening. My phone now suddenly is serving me with nappy ads. I kid you not. I don't have children. You stupid, stupid algorithm. I don't have children. Why are you advertising this shit to me?
Oh, no. It's going to suggest all the dating sites with all the single women in Cape Town.
Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, my God. Unbelievable.
I'm telling you, you need like some way to like add variety and spice to your life.
Well, I'm not a big TV viewer, and this is going to be horrifying to you, Pumi, but I said this the other day, and I actually received an email or two from people who were just disgusted. But I have not turned on my TV once this year in my house. It has not been on once. I've seen TV a couple of times at other people's houses, so I know that it still works.
It still exists. The concept of TV still exists.
But I promise you, it's now the month of April, May, so almost halfway into the year, and I haven't turned my TV on once.
Okay, we can switch it up with like book reviews. I also read a lot, so we can.
Yeah, I'm done with book reviews because we read a lot of interesting stuff. Yeah,
I'm out here. Clearly, it's also because I don't sleep very well. So there's lots of like time to do that kind of stuff.
Well, I'm with Bakabantu in terms of like, if you could do book reviews, that would help me a lot. If, for example, I mean, I'm embarrassed to admit, but I probably listen to more books now on audiobooks than I actually read them. And you get judged. People look at you and they go, oh, you're one of those, huh? It's almost like it's like you're faking it instead of, so people are embarrassed and they're not necessarily upfront about the fact that they listen to books rather than read them. But that's what I'm doing at the moment. And
listen,
if you can short circuit that for me by pointing out things like this, maybe this Viola Davis book isn't my cup of tea, but there are a couple of others that you've mentioned over the last year or so that I have picked up and read. So people are already listening to you, Pums. You don't need to have a separate show.
Listen, audiobooks, the amount of time that we spend in our cars, that's where your podcasting and audiobooks will save you from the absolute dog show of what's happening in other radio stations. Like, I know people are listening to Cliff Central, right? So they think people are serving like good shit, like people are having conversations worth having. I have heard some conversations on the radio that were just like, y'all are talking about what now?
The worst is commercial radio. This is for me, the worst.
It's so bad. So yesterday I caught an Uber from the airport to the B&B I'm staying in. And the guy who was driving the Uber was listening to one of the radio stations down here. And I kid you not, this is the discussion. They're like, are you the real you when you're drunk, or are you the real you when you're sober? And then they had a whole bunch of callers. They must have set these people up. They had to be fake, because there's no one who wants to pick up the phone and like talk to these morons about this. You know, and they call in and they're like, well, I think the real you is when you've had a couple of drinks, because the truth really comes out there. And I listen to this going, who on earth is actually sitting through commercials? And I kind of wanted to ask the Uber driver, are you enjoying this? But I thought, I didn't want to get into a whole conversation with him either, because I thought that was probably unnecessary. Some of this stuff is still going on. It's like 1993 on the radio. It's still the same as it's always been.
It's quite harrowing. We had the radio on in the car the other day with Kaneho, and we're just like, we have not listened to the radio in a long time.
Right.
Yeah, because he's now got a music personality, so he's always playing music in the car, which is great for me because it introduces me to new
music,
K-pop. Yeah. It's like, what are they saying? What are they saying? What's this song about? But we're always listening to other stuff in the car.
I'm just going to comment on this background. Just have a look at how pretty this is where I am. Oh, my God. You see, this is why people from all over the world come to Cape Town. You see the clouds rolling in over the sea there? That's amazing. If you keep going this way, you'll eventually get to Cape Town Harbor. No, sorry, this way to Cape Town Harbor. That way to Mooly Point and then round to Sea Point. Beautiful, man. Oh, wow, this place. Mm. And you know, this is also where I have to say we complain a lot about waking up early in the morning, especially on this show and especially in winter. And I know that, you know, the audience here, we're not the people who listen to us live in the morning. They don't need convincing. They're all up early. They've probably got really important things to do. And we are just part of what gets their day going, which I'm always appreciative of. But there are lots of people who complain about waking up early. I love waking up early now. And I never thought I'd say that, just because of things like seeing the sunrise. And you get your day started before everyone else. You get all the news before everyone else.
So much more day.
Right. And I reckon the best part of it is, if you can, you finish your day earlier because you started it earlier than everyone else. And you can maybe squeeze in a 20-minute nap in the afternoons, because that is the best thing ever. If you haven't used lockdown in the last 2 years to at least get a power nap in somewhere in the day, you've missed the whole point. Sorry. Big time.
So over the past
Listen, I just realized what the time is, Pums. I'm gonna have to cut you short because it's 7:02. We've got the burning platform coming up next. I don't want to cut down on time. Sorry. Hold that thought, Pumi Mashiho. We'll be back just now. CliffCentral.com. CliffCentral.com.